Hi, this is Zach. Welcome to the Coleraine Connection.
The official
behind-the-scenes
inside scoop
down Gilead Lane
Funcast.
And now, your hosts, Lori Twitchell and Steve O'Dell.
So, what's going on in Texas right now? You've got swine flu crossing the border. The pigs are coming.
They're right next door.
It's all over Yahoo. It's all over. Every time I open my email, there's
Yahoo?
Always some kind of
it's all over.
More
it's all
cases.
Over everything here. You can't go anywhere.
Russia is under quarantine. It's like, you know, I expect, you know, zombies to start breaking through the windows, oinking at me or something.
Pig zombies.
Some kind of pandemic. I'm sorry. I don't want to make light of it. I know it's serious.
No, it's actually, it really and it's of concern to me because it is here local. So some of the cases that are on the news are local here.
But what kind of good things are happening? Let's talk about nice things.
We had fiesta.
Yay.
See, that's a good Texas thing.
Yeah,
most people...
I can hear the mariachi singers right
hey,
now.
Hey, my daughter woke up on Thursday because they had their fiesta parties at school. And she woke up on Thursday and came downstairs and was doing cha-cha-cha, cha-cha-cha. And when she came home, they had made sombreros, really big sombreros. And she threw it down in the middle of the living room floor. And this is my seven-year-old. She's really cute. And she started doing the hat dance. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Right.
Yeah. So fiesta is just a time where San Antonio takes 2 weeks to party. Awesome.
Wow.
And schools are off. They close the schools for a good
reason.
And
they time it perfectly with the end of Down Gilead Lane season 11.
Yeah, so we can fiesta.
All right.
Over Gilead Lane.
Right. So, hey, guys, come on in.
Sit down.
Steve and Lori here just chewing the fat.
Or Lori and Steve.
You sure? Yep. this is the Coleraine Connection, the behind-the-scenes inside scoop Down Gilead Lane Funcast. Hey, I remembered it. Is that
Steve
the whole
didn't?
Thing?
Yeah, I don't know, but you didn't make the noise.
I don't even know what that noise is.
That's the scoop.
Oh, right. The two scoops of goodness. Yes. Down Gilead Lane season 11 has just wrapped up, like a week and a half ago. And so we've got the last couple of episodes of the season to discuss. To talk about, you know, our fans'
how
feedback,
yeah.
their thoughts, and what they thought of it.
And we have a new dimension with the fans' feedback, which we'll discuss in a couple of minutes.
Oh, yes, yes.
You want to talk about that?
Sure. And also, you know, just we'll talk about your mail, your questions, your insights,
haikus.
Your comments.
I don't have to write one while we're podcasting today.
That's right. We've got three
haikus. Bonus haikus, which is
it's
awesome.
A trilogy. It's a haiku trilogy is what it is.
A haikulogy. Did I tell you I drank some coffee before we started the podcast?
Me too.
I feel a little bit like Brooke in that episode.
All right, well then let's just get into it. First let's talk about episode 11
1111.
That's right. 1111. A Tale of Two Families.
Tale of Two Families, which is of course a play on A Tale of Two Cities, but we've got two families here, parallel stories but completely different storylines.
Yeah, yeah. Some cool stuff going on with, you know, Hope's adoption becoming a reality.
Uh-huh.
They've got, you know, it's very real. It's going to be happening. It's going to be coming up. And everybody is bonding in
yes.
the Morrison family.
Yes, they are. While the Richter family does not have that same blessing, things are starting to unbond.
Right. Kind of
de-bond.
Spinning out of control. Hey, have you ever seen one of those clay wheels, you know, for pottery?
Yes.
You know, and if the clay just gets a little bit unbalanced, you know, it throws it
all over the place.
Out of whack, the spinning will just cause the clay to just fling all over the place. Yeah. And you'll have clay in your hair and your eyes, and it's not pretty. And that's kind of going on with the Richters.
Ooh, and I can carry that metaphor a little further.
Okay, let's hear
because
it.
Because I used to, when I was in college, one of my work-study things that I did, one of my work-study jobs, was working in the art department. And one of the things that I had to do was go in and throw the clay beforehand. Did you know, have you ever done anything like that? Have you ever worked with clay?
No.
You have to literally pick up these big blocks of clay and throw them as hard as you can down at the table because it causes all of the air bubbles that are inside the clay to come out.
Yeah.
Because if there are still air bubbles in the clay, when you put it into the kiln, it causes weakness. It's like having Swiss cheese instead of having it tight. So here's a little good spiritual thought of that. Sometimes when you're going through rough times, perhaps God is just working out your air bubbles.
Okay. Why didn't we have that in the story? Why wasn't somebody making a clay vase?
That would have been a good
thing. Or as Monica would say, a vase.
Well, as I'm currently working on, episode 5, and we're looking at episode 7 of season 12, perhaps we should include some clay analogies in there.
All right, that's enough of that.
And there go the police again. But I do like the blue suits you put the guys in today instead of the black.
Yeah.
You know, the TZ police.
Okay. I was like, what are you talking about?
Lori had coffee.
Yes, okay.
All right, so back to 1111.
Yes, what else happened?
People on the blog talked about it because, why are they talking about it on the blog, Steve?
Oh, well, no more message boards at cbhministries.org.
Not because we don't love you.
No. People are creating their own communities, and that's kind of cool. We have, of course, the Funcast blog site, which is funcast.gileadlane.org. Go there, and we've got blog posts which you can always comment on. It's real easy. You just go in, you read it, and you
comment. Same thing as with the message boards, except that Steve and I are personally putting up the threads and saying, hey, here's what we want to hear from you. And we've had some great comments. We had a lot of... Anna, in fact, said that this one was 5 bajillion stars out of 5.
Wow.
And she said, bajillion is because Monica got taken in by the police. I couldn't wait for that to happen. Now she just can't stay in control. And when the police said that you have the right to remain silent and stuff, she couldn't stop laughing when Monica screamed, what? She said it was really funny.
Yes.
So she liked that.
You know, it was interesting. She referenced an episode from, way a long time back. I believe it was season 3. John Morrison told Freddie Falstaff of the consequences of bribery of government officials.
That is awesome recall.
Yeah. Nice job, Anna. And then also we had a nice long review from Daniel R.
Mm-hmm.
And he's liking every episode this season.
Woohoo!
And,
I like that.
Found it interesting to hear Mrs. Brodsky and their relationship with Randy. And he's right. They are an older couple who had Randy later in life. He's actually their youngest. They have a lot of children. Randy is the youngest of the family. We haven't really explored much into that family, but maybe we'll see a little more of them in season 12.
Mm-hmm. And here's a little thing that you wouldn't hear anywhere else. Steve and Mr. Fornoff were thinking of them as an older family. And we had never just voiced that. So there was an episode that I wrote, Love is a Many Splintered Thing. Some of you may have remembered that.
Yep.
And here's one of those things that Steve would never remember, but Lori remembers. we had the B storyline, is what we call the not the main storyline in that episode, was Hope and her friend Rocky, if anybody remembers that.
Yep.
Originally, Rocky was going to be a Brodsky. Because nobody had ever said to me, hey, I was picturing the Brodskys as an older couple with Randy being their youngest. Nobody ever said that to me. So I was picturing the Brodskys in my mind as a younger family and thought it would be great if all of the Morrison kids had younger members to deal with in school when the Brodskys came to town. So Rocky coming into town was originally going to be Rocky Brodsky.
Yep.
And so we had to rewrite that part of that episode. So there you go. More of that inside scoop scene stuff.
Yes. Yes. And, the sort of bottom line of this episode is what Tiffany is experiencing. What's going on for her as this kind of unraveling of the family is happening. She is being drawn to, this kind of seeming stability of this other family and just kind of how they seem to be better at doing family than the Richters are. So I think we're going to see more of kind of the consequences of her, being drawn into that family as we go on here in the next episode and in the next season. So stay tuned for that. What other kind of interesting comments did we see, Lori, on this episode?
Well, we saw everybody was going crazy to find out about what was going to be happening in the finale.
Oh, sure. Yeah. That was kind of common. I can't wait till next week.
Yep. And Dave really liked this show. Dave, our resident reviewer, who's been here forever.
Yep.
He enjoyed hearing Hope's question about adoption and how that was resolved. Normally, stories about Hope don't really draw him in, but this one managed to. He said it was the best episode involving a story arc in a very long time.
Cool.
He also asked a question that I think is really good to re-highlight for those of you who are listening and don't understand this. He wanted to know how long the MP3 version of the show is, and just I think we should highlight that the MP3 version is different than the broadcast version.
Oh, yeah, good point. If you go to the CBH store, which is shopcbh.org, you can download the MP3 version of any episode as long as, you know, the air date has passed. So you can't download it unless somebody at the store makes a mistake. You can't download it before it airs. But after the air date, we try to make the MP3s available right away at the store. And they are the full uncut version, the director's cut, if you will, which is pretty much everything the writer writes. We produce it. And then if it's long, you know, if it's too long for broadcast, then we cut it down. But we leave it uncut for the MP3. So does that explain that?
Yeah, I think that explains that very succinctly.
That's what we're going for here.
Succinct.
Speaking of which, let's move on to 11-12.
Tell it to the judge, Steve.
Tell it to the judge.
That was the name of that episode, in case you all didn't realize that, as we segued
in
that manner.
In case you thought that we had a judge here that we had to tell something to.
Yeah. And we don't. I don't think so. Although the guys in blue are kind of shaking their heads at me. And, you know, one of them's moving his sunglasses. So there may be a teaser judge somewhere. But anyway, the big finale of season 11. I can't believe the finale has already aired. And we're wrapping. But people really seem to enjoy where the season ended.
That's good. Because we didn't really have a plan B on that.
No, we knew from the beginning, we knew before we ended season 10 where we wanted season 11 to end. Do you remember that?
No.
Okay, well, see, that's another little thing.
Yeah.
When we were in the end of season 10, when we started some of this story arc of Peace of Heaven, we had this storyline in mind with Monica.
Right.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So... Is your coffee wearing off?
No.
Okay, just checking.
I do need to go refill it, but that's okay. I can hang in there.
Okay. Funny, the very first comment.
Yes.
On the blog, Daniel liked finding out Coleraine is in Crawford County. Which I thought was really, really interesting.
Uh-huh.
And you know what? I got emails about this one, and I just remembered that. I'm going to have to pull up those emails. I got emails from a friend of mine.
Yeah.
Who is a mayor in a small town.
Uh-huh.
And he is also a pastor. He's a pastor and a mayor.
Uh-huh.
And on that Saturday morning that it aired, my friend Glenn, who's now freaking out very happily, sent me like 4 emails in a row, said that he was going to be late for a funeral because he needed to find out what was going to happen with Monica.
Whoa.
That's pretty big. I'll have to find those emails for the mailbag segment. But,
cool. You didn't even tell me about that.
I had completely forgotten about it until we were sitting here. Yeah, DGL1, DGL2, DGL3, and DGL4. I got them all on April 18th, and that Saturday morning when it was airing.
Cool.
So everybody really, really liked it. Laurie, I thought her comments were really interesting.
Yeah.
She feels bad for Tom, Caleb, Tiffany, and Maya. But she doesn't feel bad for Monica, which, you know, that is one of those things. Not that we were trying to set you up to feel badly for Monica, but when you have an iconic villain, which Monica has been in the show, sometimes you tend to caricature that person. And I don't know if you guys understand what a caricature is.
You just kind of make it bigger than life.
Right. And you tend to make it two dimensional.
Uh-huh.
Like a cardboard stand-up. There's not a another dimension to the character.
Right.
This season, as we wrote these episodes, we really, really wanted to highlight, ooh, it's not just Monica who's gotten herself into trouble and, you know, big bad Monica.
Yeah. Right.
There is a human element to Monica and how she's gotten to be the person that she is.
Yep. And everybody, every single one of us is deserving of justice.
Yes.
And every single one of us has got backstory, has got motivation for why we do the things we do or don't do the things we don't do. And we wanted to explore that a little bit with Monica. And right now, she is getting justice. And
justice is not always, woohoo, look, the bad guy got in trouble.
Right. I mean, I think we all do have, because we're created in God's image, we do have something in us that has a desire for justice.
Mm-hmm.
It's just we don't really desire it for ourselves. That's the problem.
Yeah, and you know? It's tough. And the thing is, it does not just hit just Monica. Look at what's happening. That's what we were talking about with the last episode. This is affecting Tiffany and Maya and Caleb and Tom, and none of them could see it coming. And I'm not even sure that Monica could really see it coming.
Right. Even though she probably should have.
She should have. But
her pride, I think, you know, just...
blinded her.
Blinded her. Good word.
Yeah.
Okay. Anna does not like evil cliffhanger endings.
I didn't know that was an evil cliffhanger ending. But there was something that you mentioned to me yesterday. Was a comment. Was it from Renda Slow? About how it was the shortest trial in history.
Oh, yes.
And it really, we need to clarify a little bit here. We went very, very specifically. My father-in-law is an attorney, so I have to be very careful when I do these things. And we also have people involved with the show, Randy Heckman, right? Who have, you know, judges and know all this stuff. So we wanted to make sure that this was technically and legally correct. It was not a trial. Okay, this was not the trial of the century. This was what's called an arraignment.
Yes, which is where they basically present all the the evidence that the case has so far, and a judge kind of looks over everything, hears from everybody, and makes sure that all the paperwork is correct so that it's a valid case to go to trial. And that's also where they decide what is going to happen with the accused person, before the trial actually happens. Do we need to hold on to her, or can we let her, go home for a time? A lot of times that's risky because the person might run away. They might flee. So that was what this judge decided. And so those things were, that's what happens in an arraignment. They kind of work out those sort of details.
It's just that initial first step.
Right.
Exactly. So it was not a trial. It was not the fastest trial in history. We didn't want to go into that. Although trials in courtrooms are very dramatic. This is where we wanted to end the season.
Right.
We wanted to end the season not knowing what Monica's future was, and having completely 100% without a question or a doubt solidifying Hope's future.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was kind of the contrast. We wanted to definitely have resolution there and showing the kind of like strengthening unity in the Morrison family while we're also showing this kind of crumbling, disintegration of the Richter family.
Yes.
And speaking of the Hope part of this episode, you know what was really cool, Lori? Somebody noticed some of the cameos that we had, and one of the biggest cameos I think we maybe have ever had in the show Down Gilead Lane was to have Randy Heckman actually play the judge who did
the
adoption.
There were lots of exclamation points at that.
Yeah, and the cool thing about that, Randy, of course, being the original executive producer of Gilead and the co-creator of the show, he before that was a family court judge,
and in fact, and that's one of the reasons we discussed that.
Yeah, the John Morrison character was partially based on him. But he used to do that. You know, he used to actually do adoption ceremonies in his courtroom. So I just thought, oh, man, we got to get him. And he was, like, all for it, you know. And when we got to the point at the end where he says, okay, now what I'm going to do is come down off the bench and I want the family to gather around here, that was all ad-lib. He totally went off script. I mean, we did a couple takes as it was scripted, but he was like, you know what I used to do? He's like, for what it's worth. He just put it out there. And I was like, well, let's just give it a try. Let's see how it goes. And he totally ad-libbed that scene, and the Morrison, you know, actors that were there, they just kind of went with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just sounded very like real and natural. And so,
which, it does have that effect.
Anyway, that was kind of
which
a cool,
is very, very cool. And there was also a question about another cameo, Kevin Yan.
Kevin Yan. Yeah. Yeah. He's been a utility player. He's done a number of different characters. Was that Daniel?
Daniel knows. Daniel has that voice thing down. Yes. He recognizes people right away.
Yep. He's kind of like me that way. But yeah, Kevin originally was on, I believe, he was on the episode All for One, where Morrison's and Richter's went to build a Habitat for Humanity house. And then he was also, he played the same character who was kind of, I don't even remember the name of the character, kind of a gruff workman carpenter type in the episode where the Easter set was demolished by a storm the night before they were supposed to do it. And so, you know, the Morrisons all came and helped him rebuild it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he played Mr. Gonzalez in the Thanksgiving episode where they went to the homeless shelter.
That Mr. Farnoff wrote,
Yep.
All of our fans are out there right now, whether you realize this or not, Steve, they're supplying the names and the episodes and probably the episode numbers.
I'm sure. Right. He did that, you know, as a character, you know, voice, obviously. And then, but then there was one where he, never mind, that's an upcoming episode that hasn't aired yet.
And Steve just got whapped by the TZ police.
Ouch.
Yeah. The blue suits don't help when they smack you in the back of the head, do they? Okay.
Anyway, so yeah, like I said, it's what we call a utility player. He's so great at doing different voices that we can't really just lock him into one specific character.
That's fantastic,
you know?
To have somebody like that. So we appreciate Kevin Yan, and we appreciate Daniel for recognizing Kevin Yan. I think that's really awesome. We heard from a couple of people on the blog too that we don't hear from as often. We heard from Jessica, who said she loved this episode, gave it 10 stars out of 5.
Wow.
And she went into a little talk about who the villains are, because in a podcast we had mentioned you have to have a villain, and she went into some discussion and her thoughts on who the villains might be, and if you want to see that, you're going to have to go to the blog. And then we also heard from Rosie 12, who said she gave it a 1-8-4-7-2-8-4-3-5-8-3-7-5-3-8-5-7 out of 5 stars.
Yeah, that's a big number.
I like
I wonder why not 1-8-4-7-2-8-4-3-5-8-3-7-5-3-8-5-8 out of 5 stars.
I don't know.
You know? I mean, just one more, maybe?
I don't know.
Anyway.
Maybe we needed one more Monica scream.
Maybe I'm just being greedy. Who knows?
But we love your thoughts. And if you have not shared your thoughts with us yet, it doesn't matter that the season is over. We would still love to have you come to the blog.
Yep.
At what is the web address, Mr. Odell?
It's real easy. It's real easy. It's funcast.gileadlane.org.
Because we are the Funcast about Gilead Lane.
That's right. And you might think when you go there, it's just a list of all of the podcasts, you know?
No,
and you're
hit
like,
the blog.
Well, where's the part where they're talking about the episodes? Just go to the heading at the top of the page that says The Blog.
Mm-hmm.
And there you will see all of our little blog entries.
And there's even a Gilead News section that has news.
And, you know, we sometimes do news here on the podcast as well. And we'll get to that when we get to the news
segment. We have some news that is coming up. But if you go to that blog section, you will find pictures of Steve.
Yep.
You will find no pictures of me, I don't think.
In fact, I took a picture of myself when we were talking about swine flu and you'll get to see exactly what was, you know, going through my mind as we were talking about swine flu. I'll post it after we get done with the
podcast. Frightens me a little bit. That's right up there with the picture of your brain. This is your brain. This is your brain on swine flu.
Goodness.
Oh, maybe we should edit that part.
Maybe we should read a haiku.
We have 3 haikus, and I am so excited about the fact that we have a haiku.
And the location, the source of the haiku is
part of our news.
An interesting news discussion as well, but we'll get to that. Should we do them all at once? It's like a trilogy of haikus.
I think that, I think we should space them out a little bit and then tell people later, after you've listened to the whole podcast, go back and just listen to each haiku because it is a trilogy. It's awesome.
Right. They kind of go together. So, but since we always open the mailbag segment with a haiku, why don't we do the first one and then get into the mailbag? What does that sound like?
Sounds like a cooey hi.
Don't sit down, I'll stomp your shoe. Here we go with the mail haiku.
All right, first haiku of the trilogy goes like this. God made this green earth. With a loud voice, he proclaimed, "Let there be light." I had to add a syllable on that last line so we could get five syllables. But
yeah, anyway, but it works.
Yes, very nicely.
Awesome. Thank you. And much. That was from Rendis Lowe, right?
Rendis Lowe, yes. Rendis Lowe, thank you. All of these haikus are from him. And
which I
again,
love Rendis Lowe.
Yes. All right, so what kind of mail have we got here, Lori?
We have a lot of mail. Should we start with the Glenn mail?
Sure.
Okay. The first email that I got was... there wasn't even a hello in there. And Glenn is a friend of mine. He married my best friend from high school. So we've been friends for like 20 years.
Cool.
And it says, "Bribing public officials. I've got a funeral to do and I can't leave because I have to hear how this show turns out." And he signed it, "A Prisoner to a Good Story."
Oh, wow.
And then the next email says, "Crawford County." So now I'm sitting here next to the county courthouse and I'm looking outside to see the Richter family because Glenn actually lives in Crawford County. And I'm just praying now. Monica... He says this here, and I'm not endorsing this, but Monica's an idiot. She fired her attorney. Whoa. I'll call one of the guys. We'll be right there. Monica and Tom will be fine because Glenn used to work in a law office. And he says she's crying, finally. And then he put in parentheses, "She's still an idiot." So is John Morrison the mayor? And now he says he needs to catch up because Glenn, being a small town mayor, likes that part. And then the last email just says, "Great story." So, Glenn, listening in Crawford County, thank you for your input on Down Gilead Lane.
That's cool.
We've got one, Steve, that you've got.
Yes, I do. This one comes from Jeremy. Jeremy, we don't know where you're writing from, but that's okay. Here's what we got. "I was curious on your production schedule how long it takes for each season to be released to radio from one season to the next. What is the time frame?"
Oh, wow. Well, that's a very good question.
Yeah, and it's something that's a little tricky to nail down because, you know, we start brainstorming, you know, we start dreaming up a story arc, you know, way, way, way in advance, and then we'll start to write them, you know, we'll brainstorm them an episode at a time and write them that way. And then, you know, once we get several episodes written, we go into the studio to record. And then that process. So basically, everything up to the recording session is pre-production. And then everything after the recording session is post-production. So I would say everything from start to finish would be, you know, like a year or more.
Just as an interesting little thing that to throw in there.
Yeah.
I just did a little search in my email. Uh-huh. And... I sent you the beat sheets for 11/11 and 11/12.
Yes.
On 11/17/08.
So November of last year.
Yes.
But the for the whole season, I mean, we should track back to when you you know, wrote up a treatment for, you know, the whole season 11.
Yeah.
Which
I
would have been
that.
Like summer of last year, I think.
Yes, last year we were talking about all of this.
Yeah.
It was, I'm trying to find it, because see, on that one, all I did was just do a really fast search of my email and found 11/11. But yes, it was about a year ago from right now at this point that we were beginning the brainstorming on season 11.
Right. So there you go, Jeremy. Hope that answers your question. Next.
Okay. We have a question from Daniel R.
Okay.
"How many people have played Anna Townsend over the course of the series? He thinks two or maybe three if someone played her all throughout season one, but in season four it's somebody different and then yet another person later, so..."
Yes, it's three. We had our original Anna, you know, in from the very beginning of the season, and then she was replaced because her voice actually reflected her age at that point, and Michael's, you know, wasn't so much. And so anyway, so just to get a good match, we cast somebody else. And then there was a girl who played the young Grace on a few episodes where we were starting to get flashbacks, you know, of the Grace saga. And she played the young Grace. And then that second Anna had kind of moved on and she was like out of town. And so we needed somebody. So the girl who played the young Grace, I think when she first joined the cast, she was then cast as Anna, and her name is Anna. So anyway, woo-hoo. So that was easy.
We had another question from Jane, and I thought you would like to answer this question. So I guess that means I will read this question.
Okay, go ahead.
I missed last week's episode. Can I listen to it again? And how do I listen to it?
Good question, Jane. There, you know, we keep an archive of 2 weeks worth of episodes on our website. So, you know, when you first go to GileadLane.org, you'll see this week's episode right there, and there's a description and a place to click to listen to it. But if you want to listen to the previous week's episode, then you kind of need to know what episode it was, because you need to go to episodes and navigate through. And for instance, this would have been, you know, you go to season 11, scroll down and find 11, 12, and it would say, you know, I think it has a little tag there that says last week's episode, and you can click on it to listen to it. So this week's episode is always easy to get to. Last week's episode, you have to, you know, kind of like navigate through a little bit to find it, but it's available to listen to as well. So hope
there you go. So now you
question.
Know.
Yeah.
And we love that you guys are finding the episodes. We want you to be able to listen to them, and we appreciate knowing the various methods that you can go to find Down Gilead Lane.
Yes. We had another question from somebody about ages of people.
Okay.
Cassandra, she really wants to know.
Okay. So, how old are the actors who play Justin and Haley? And I know the answer to Haley because I'm a friend of hers on a various social networking site.
Which will remain nameless,
but she and I are friends there. I happen to know she's 21, right?
Yes, I believe that's true. So the actress who plays Haley
is 21.
The character Haley herself, like 14.
14. See, I was able to answer those two. But Justin.
The actor who plays Justin.
58.
No, not 58. I think he's like 26 now.
Okay.
Yeah. So Justin, like, the character, 18.
Or 19.
Yeah.
Something and around that teeny years.
Around there, yep. Late teens and mid-20s is the actual actor. They act. They act
very
well.
Very well. Yep. They do. They're fantastic. And we had a comment from Christina, who said, I just wanted to say happy Easter. And thanks for all you do and the big impact that Gilead Lane has had on me and my life. I thank you for writing and producing it. It's helped a lot of people in many ways. And
thank you.
You have just helped us in
a
lot of
ways. Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you, Christina.
We were just discussing earlier how we feel sometimes like we're kind of in a void. We're in a bubble because we don't always hear from people. And you wonder how the program is getting out there, who it's affecting. And it's wonderful to get comments like that help encourage us. So thank you, Christina, for being an encouragement.
And if you have a comment or a question for us, we are always looking for mail to read a haiku with. And you can email us at ccfuncast@gileadlane.org. Or you can always call our toll-free comment line, toll-free within the U.S.
So we can hear you. We like that.
That number is 877-937-5397. And, don't forget the blog, funcast.gileadlane.org. You can go there and comment on one of our blog entries.
Steve and I are there. We're posting blog entries.
Going. Let's read another haiku.
Yeah, why don't you haiku?
Okay, the second haiku of the trilogy from Rendezlous. With a flaming sword, the angel guards the garden. Sin is now present.
Whoa! See, I think that's cool.
That is a good one, yes.
I do. I think that's awesome. And I love Rendezlous for putting those together. And Steve, I think we were going to discuss Well, yeah. Brenda's slow.
Well, you know.
Sort of. Not talking about somebody, but.
No, no. Our good friend has taken the initiative. You know, we talked, I don't know, a while back when we were discussing the shutting down of the message boards. That, you know, if you wanted to keep the community going, you know, keep the conversation and the connection point going, you know, you can create your own space to discuss Down Gilead Lane.
Gilead. Yeah.
And all things pertinent to it. And Ren Deslow has taken the mantle.
The initiative.
We've passed the baton.
And he's running with it.
He's running with it, yeah.
And Steve and I are following.
It's really cool. He's got a space on the World Wide Web just for Down Gilead Lane. And you can check it out. Just do a search for Coleraine or Gilead, Down Gilead Lane.
See what you find.
And see what you find. And
that's what we're encouraging people to do, because Gilead Lane is in more places than you might realize.
Right. And, you know, Ren Deslow, I feel like I want to call him Ren. I don't know why, but anyway, you know, if you want to post to our blog and just maybe give a little bit more information about that site, that would be great. The invitation is open. And if there are any other fans out there who want to kind of create their own virtual community to talk about Gilead, Coleraine, and such, definitely feel free to do so. That'd be awesome.
And let us know, because we want to know where you are and what you're doing, so we can follow along. We love seeing what you guys are doing. Yep. I enjoy creativity. So
definitely.
Fantastic. And this place where Ren Deslow has put things together, that is where we found these awesome haikus.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, he's got a place where if you went there and signed up, you could submit your own haikus, too. That would be cool.
Yeah, very cool. So you might want to check that out.
Also in the news department, did you realize that we were in the news department now? That we've transitioned?
I think we need to haiku so we can transition into news.
Oh, I want to do the last haiku at the end. I want to
save it. Okay, because every day needs a little haiku.
There you go.
Oh, I just messed it up. So, but now you have some foreshadowing. Okay, so news.
Yes, we've talked about, you know, the retail set of season 11.
Ooh.
And we sort of hinted at it in the last podcast, but it is officially coming. The release date is Monday the 18th of May. So coming right up. And we're moving fast and furious because the artist who does the cover art for our sets, she was a little bit delayed in getting to it. So we just approved final artwork for the cover. The masters are, you know, sent to the place where the CDs are made. And so that's all happening. And you can get it, Lord willing, Monday the 18th of May. But you can pre-order it right now.
And there's a pre-order spot running.
There is, yes, and there has been some talk about that as well.
Stephen Lurie broke loose, and you never know what's
going to
happen.
Fun Theater, you know, we've got a new little offshoot called Fun Cast Theater, which was really fun to do. But anyway, what that is talking about is a way to share Down Gilead Lane with a friend, with somebody who maybe doesn't listen to Gilead and isn't familiar with the world. We've got a way for you to kind of like pass the fun along in a little free sampler of two episodes of Gilead that will come with your Down Gilead Lane Season 11 set if you pre-order it. That means if you order the set before the release date of May 18th. Does that make sense?
Woohoo! Yes, it does.
Yes.
That's
the sampler. Right. The sampler contains A Story of Grace and Hope, the retail version of that episode, and Ranch Blessing. Yes. So full episodes, but they're episodes that are easy to jump in because they're not real connected to any, you know, arc plot. They're just sort of standalones. So they're great sampler stuff. So
I just knocked something off my desk. So that's the ka-chunk sound that you just heard in the background.
Well,
I didn't want you to have to edit.
Let me look and see if I can knock something off my desk and we can just make this as real as can be. No, I don't want to do that. So that's our news. Maybe we should. Oh, I got a great idea. Okay. We should have a little contest, and there's no real prize other than, you know, just respect for what people guess will be the cover, you know, the picture of season 11, the cover, you know, what scene from season 11 is depicted on the cover. How about that?
Hey, it's good to me.
You don't sound very enthusiastic.
I go with it. No, I'm going with the flow. I'm rolling.
Yeah, you want me
this
to have
some
kind of...
This is how we
roll. You want me to have some kind of cool prize, don't you?
Well, you know, I'm a marketing person.
Right.
I like incentive. But
incentives
I don't know if you have any prize. But
I don't really.
A Steve Odell will write you a haiku.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
About the cover art. No, Steve Odell will write you a haiku. Maybe about your username or your name or something about the winner.
Okay.
Of the contest. So now we have a prize and didn't even have to worry
there
about getting approval from anybody.
Okay, cool. The other thing that I wanted to mention was we are talking about having a, you know, big, you know, what we call the Brobdingnagian wrap-up podcast.
Yeah, because
we did this.
We set a precedent 10. For ourselves, yeah.
Yes, I know. We set the bar. So we are talking about doing something like that for all of Season 11, like a big wrap-up podcast. And we've got two specials, brand new episodes for the summer, written by a new writer.
I was going to say that I did not write and Mr. Fornoff did not write.
Right, yeah. So she's just kind of like a stand-in. She came along at a time when we kind of needed somebody to sort of do these specials. And Kathy Buchanan, a name that some might recognize, has written a couple specials. And they're going to air on Mother's Day weekend and Father's Day weekend, respectively. So,
wow. And yeah, so we would like to do the Brobdingnagian podcast to include both of those as well.
Right.
Or at least one of those and then another.
Yeah. That's what's coming up. So look for that sometime in the next month or so. And with that, I hear some closing podcast music. That means our time is just about up. But listen to this. You can't have part one and part two without part three of this haiku trilogy. Here it is. Rendezvous, thank you so much for this. We're going to go out with it. Here it goes. One man's death saved us. Christ's blood vanquished sin and death. Hope is rekindled. I feel like I got to say amen on that.
Yes. Awesome, awesome stuff.
Woot. Thank you so much, Rendezvous, for your contribution to today's podcast. And thank you everyone who wrote and who is continuing to listen and were faithful listeners through season 11.
I think our time's up.
Yep.
Looking forward to season 12.
And we'll talk soon. Remember, every day needs an antidote to swine flu.
Or a haiku.
That's even better.
And it rhymes.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, do we have bloopers from episodes 11 and 12? Let's see.
I don't know, but we have bloopers from this podcast.
Nope, no bloopers, sorry.
You guys should totally see Steve and I when we're actually in a room together.
No kidding. All right, so, but the other thing that I wanted to mention before we do the final haiku of the trilogy. The
final
other thing I wanted
countdown.
Europe, 1985. The other thing that I wanted to mention, and I will get to it. Just give me a second here. What was it?
Steve and I have way too much fun on this podcast.
I know.
Hopefully that translates to you fun too.
Here it is. Ready? Okay.